Hi, everyone. Dan Cassidy here. Welcome back to the Washington Weekly Podcast on the UBS In The Now podcast channel. Joining us for today's conversation, glad to welcome back on this Friday morning, Shane Lieberman, Senior Governmental Affairs Advisor with Governmental Affairs U.S. here at UBS. Shane, welcome back. Thank you for dropping by and for spending some time today with our listeners and our clients. Looking forward to our conversation.
Thanks, Dan. Good to be with you.
So a few topics to cover this week, maybe beginning with the campaign trail. We did hear some interesting developments this week, learning that President Biden, as well as former President Trump, have agreed to two televised debates this ahead of Election Day. So curious, what do we know as far as the terms, the timing? What can you share with us?
Yeah, that's right. Earlier this week, the Biden and Trump presidential campaigns agreed to hold two televised debates. The first is actually on June 27th and the second September 10th. We were a little surprised given both campaigns had expressed misgivings about debates earlier this year. So, I guess you consider this welcome news. The biggest surprise, to us, was actually kind of the timing, the first debate being in June is pretty early to us. So the timing, seems to be designed to give the candidates time to recover if they have, a bad performance, or left unresolved is whether there'll be any third party candidates, which would be very interesting, especially having Robert, F. Kennedy, Jr. on the stage. As I think we've talked about, the Biden team was most concerned about, RFK in this race, but now you're seeing maybe more concern from the Trump team. So I think you may see Trump trying to exclude RFK. So that's a fluid situation that we don't have clarity on this moment. I think there's also some fluidness to do these debates actually happen, or does someone pull out at the last moment? So pleased to see these two debates scheduled, although to some degree, consider this a little fluid.
Well, it is encouraging that these debates are indeed slated to take place, and I do look forward to covering them both with you. It sounds like the first one coming up in only a matter of weeks, so a lot more here we will cover for our listeners and clients. I do want to turn over to Capitol Hill for a few moments. I did see this week that Congress has been working on legislation aimed at improving consumer protections and improving flying standards, which I found to be interesting considering many of us fly on a frequent basis. So what could you share with us about the FAA bill?
Well, first, I thank you for bringing it up. I think we sometimes get a little too focused on Congress's inability to do anything. And, so this is somewhat routine. This is a five-year reauthorization bill of the Federal Aviation Administration, the FAA. And, so it's routine in the sense that while it only happens once every 5 years, it should be commonplace for Congress to agree to something like this. However, we've seen over the years Congress doesn't always meet their deadlines, and in more partisan times, some of these things linger. And so, pleased to see it done, but also I think why I'm pleased that you asked about it is because we tend to move on from Congress actually acting. It's almost like a one-day story. So, but to your larger point, there is a lot in this bill. You're talking about hiring more air traffic controllers. Even the Teamsters supported this bill. You're going to improve runway safety. To your point, also passenger protection. There's been a lot of discussion about, how airlines provide refunds. Do they do it in cash rather than vouchers? So I think now, for vouchers to be done, it has to give the consumer 5 years to use that voucher, not like a one-year use it or lose it. Setting standards for travel credits. But there's also enhancing protections for airline workers. We've seen since COVID-19, a lot of agents and airline workers be kind of verbally and sometimes physically assaulted. So increased protections for those airline workers will be welcome to those in those jobs. They're also going to do trying things like increased cockpit voice recording, which, you know, as we've seen over the past few years, you know, incidences where, you know, the recording is, you know, not there at the end of the day, maybe because it was voiced over or, you know, the recorder wasn't working in the first place. So a lot going on in this bill, and pleased to see it passed into law.
Before we close out, Shane, turning to geopolitics, in recent weeks we have been covering the travels of Secretary of State Antony Blinken. Recently he did travel to Ukraine, where he met with several officials, this as the war with Russia remains ongoing. So what are some takeaways from this week's visit, and might there be additional arms support inbound from the U.S. to Ukraine?
Yeah, well, first, you know, unfortunately, a lot of headlines is about Secretary Blinken, you know, going to a bar afterwards and playing music and playing the song Keep on Rocking in a Free World and overshadowing what was actually accomplished, you know. While, you know, the critics are correct to point out that that was somewhat tone deaf, if you will, you know, we're overlooking what was accomplished. And this visit comes on the heel of Congress actually approving tens of billions of dollars for Ukraine. So this is Secretary Blinken announcing that, you know, the money and the military weapons are on their way, if you will, and, you know, reinforcing, you know, the U.S.'s support for Ukraine in their war against Russia. At the same time, this is important because at the same time, Putin is in China meeting with Xi, and they're pledging, you know, a new era of cooperation. And part of that is, you know, pushback on the U.S. and really, you know, in their minds, you know, trying to have kind of a new world order or power to juxtapose against the U.S. and, you know, what they believe is, you know, hostile positions from the U.S. and, you know, their shared views on Taiwan and Ukraine and sometimes North Korea. So, you know, this is, you know, not a new Cold War yet, but you're seeing elements of a new Cold War, you know, really taking shape here.
Well, it does continue to be a very complicated, delicate situation. And of course, we'll continue to follow this story on the podcast. Though, Shane, as always, thank you for dropping by, spending a few moments with our listeners, our clients, keeping them informed. I wish you a nice spring weekend and do look forward to picking back up with our conversation again soon.
Thanks, Dan. Looking forward to it. I hope you have a great weekend as well.
Thank you, Shane. Again, today we have been joined by Shane Lieberman, Senior Governmental Affairs Advisor with Governmental Affairs US here at UBS. Before we close out, I do want to remind our listeners and our clients of UBS, you can locate the latest Washington Weekly publication on ubs.com/Washington Weekly. From UBS Studios, I'm Dan Cassidy. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for tuning in. Be sure to visit ubs.com/studios to view the entire UBS Studios suite of podcast channels, along with our video offerings, such as UBS Trending. You can also follow us on Instagram for content highlights at UBS Trending. UBS Studios is part of the UBS Chief Investment Office within UBS Global Wealth Management. Visit ubs.com/CIO to view the latest research. As a firm providing wealth management services to clients, UBS Financial Services, Inc. offers investment advisory services in its capacity as an SEC-registered investment advisor and brokerage services in its capacity as an SEC-registered broker-dealer. Investment advisory services and brokerage services are separate and distinct, differ in material ways, and are governed by different laws and separate arrangements. It is important that you understand the ways in which we conduct business and that you carefully read the agreements and disclosures that we provide to you about the products or services we offer. For more information, please review client relationship summary provided at ubs.com/relationship summary or ask your UBS financial advisor for a copy.